Namaste. Welcome to this January 2021 graduate program homework update week 3. That's a lot to remember. There's 8 homeworks this time, so I'll do those probably 2 sections. And I just want to start by re-emphasizing that homework needs to be sent in by midnight UK time on Sunday evening to be included in this particular week's homework batch. And if it's later than that, it's fine. It will go into the next one, no problem at all there. Also, just to encourage you to send in homework if you're feeling that there's something you want to ask or a challenge that you're having and you don't feel that it's important enough to say. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. You know, there's nothing that you can't really ask about this, or if there's something you're struggling with the homework or anything in particular, you know, you're allowed to send in feedback from the homework. Is a question you have as well? Anything from the being the one sheet of advanced contemplations, problem you're having in life in general. That's part of the graduate program when we share our problems, our breakthroughs, our challenges, our epiphanies. Then everyone benefits really from that, don't they? So everyone grows together, the one being growing so much faster when we're all tuned into this homework. And ask anything that really is in your heart that you want to know. So we'll get started. The first homework says, "Hi Helen, there is a boogeyman that I have not been willing to confront because I felt that anger, fear, or sadness would devour me. I know that the truth is behind all of this. When I look at the laser precision with which I've created what I don't want, what would that look like uninhibited by mind? I look at those creations and I tremble at the possibilities knowing what I truly am." See, that's wonderful, isn't it? That, you know, if we accidentally create this reflection based on the image in the mirror, the reflection looks this way. It's just a small change, seeing through one belief or something to allow the manifestation, the reflection to change. And it has to change. And we've created this unknowingly, unconsciously. And now that we're conscious or becoming conscious of the process, not that we're trying to change our outside world to make us happy, not like law of attraction in that way. But because abundance is the natural state, abundance of all good things inside, and abundance in our outer world is a reflection of our manifestation, of our realization rather, being unfiltered through any thoughts at all. So it's important to have our life going towards what we want it to be as evidence of our awakening, really maturing, rather than manifestation can be avoided or even a dirty word in some non-duality ways of looking. So I just really want to embrace that within you and celebrate you for recognizing. Wonderful. It really doesn't take very much to turn it around at all. Oh, thank God for you, Helen, for pioneering a way that can be navigated by others so easily. I'm grateful that you trusted this was possible. This gift is immeasurable. I've seen for the first time what is actually happening or not happening in brackets when I suffer. I'm beginning to directly look at what I am believing with each trigger. I am sometimes set free immediately when I look at causality. Other times I sit with what is believed with tenderness and acceptance. No matter how furious, sad, or unworthy I may feel, whether I followed through with the trigger or not, I'm realizing the transformative potential is the same. And seeing the results immediately when I stick with it. Good. So everything has to begin to change. The moment I stop trying to change the effect, when I see what I think was the cause is actually the effect, the reflection, the ripple of what I'm certain of, my prevailing attitudes about myself, the world, awakening, other beings, life in general, is reflecting as this thing. And I stop trying to change this thing directly and realize it's not going to actually change until I sort of correct my attitude inside and really look at it. The moment you begin to do that, you are right back in the driving seat, and it has to change. The reflection has to change. So it's vital to see that, and hopefully you feel very, very empowered by this process. I came across something a couple of days ago, where I just sat with it for a couple of days, kept looking at it, just looking, seeing. I've been trying to change the effect. I saw that the effect was the effect, not the cause. Sat with it a couple of days, and it's naturally beginning to change by itself, the reflection. And I'm seeing how I felt, the attitude that was still there in underneath, was unquestioned, allowed to be, because it seemed to be so true. And just sitting with it, wow, something inside me really felt this way. Then it becomes easier to just sit with it. Sometimes, like you say, it vanishes the moment you see it. Sometimes it just needs a little reminding, a little looking at again, a couple of times, and it begins to shift. Either way, you feel excited to see it, to be aware of this pattern rather than the other way around. So very, very good. So, you know, the point I'm making, if I'm still seeing things in myself, then we can't really, we don't need to expect an end to this, but it's a fun, for me, it's a fun process now. It's like, what's going on here? This manifestation isn't really changing, or it might be going the wrong way. There must be some cause and effect. Let me look. Then this must be the effect, and there must be a cause. What's the cause inside? And the belief, it comes to light when you ask, when you want to see, and you question it. But it's a fun process for me. It's like, wow, there's all this stuff in here. And I'm not trying to get to an end. It becomes a lovely way to live. And I think that's kind of what you're pointing to. This trusting that this was possible, that there was a step-by-step process that you've said, it wasn't like that for me at first. The utter pain and frustration that not being able to break through these things, and then finally breaking through. And then this desire rose to make it, why did it have to be so difficult? Why did it take me so long? Why can't it be simpler? And there must be a simpler way. So it's trust was arrived at eventually after a lot of pain. But it's what makes me so passionate about causality. It actually, if you just learn about causality only, if we only studied lesson two and got rid of the other three lessons, everything would still fall into place, because it's the crux of everything that we've been disturbing ourselves with. Okay. What I talked about during the graduate extra class immediately dissolved the next day as I looked at my fear about not being able to get what I want, every aspect of it, which was quite complex. It's a big one, this, isn't it? Because it pervaded everything, whether I wanted extra money, whether I've wanted awakening, whether I wanted to be more patient with my kids. It's kind of working everywhere in my life under the surface, just kind of subtly sabotaging what I want. I wrote it down in my miracle journal, which I've been keeping. Wonderful. When I feel the noumenon move to the forefront of my being, I find that this is the most powerful time to inquire, and believing anything is almost impossible. Yeah. During that time, the gap of separation seems to be closed. The usual beliefs that pull up my solar plexus are now being challenged, and I feel free and no longer slave to my fear. A recent belief that I am powerless came up, and I inquired whether the noumenon needed power. This was transformative, as the victimhood that I felt vanished. I continued to be the space in which everything was arising. Thank you, Helen, for this gift. So as you see it inside, the noumenon doesn't need this, that, or the other. It can't be held back from what it wants. On one hand, it doesn't want anything, as the formlessness. As a human being, it might want this, that, and the other, awakening and everything. And it can't really be denied that, can it? Can't really be. Nothing can get in the way of that process. So just keep looking, and then it'll be easier and easier to remember that in those moments when life suggests something to you that raises that old belief, that shows you the cause inside. Wonderful, wonderful. I love the miracle journal. It really helped me when I did it, it just absolutely changed everything. So Miracle Journal, just in case you don't know, is where I start to really begin to notice when a manifestation is changing. I write it down. I write down something. So even the smallest thing that happened differently than has happened before, you know, so the same situation arises, but I'm not as terrified, or somebody acts slightly different to the way they've always acted with me, slightly better, or the smallest little shoot of this new reflection, this new manifestation. Are we celebrating it? Are we noticing it? Wonderful. So next, there we go. Hello, Helen. The extra session on causality was perfect, as I find it challenging to apply it. And every teaching helps me see more clearly, as often is the case. I'm having a challenge reading at the moment, so there's nothing wrong with what's been written, but as often is the case, when doing this work, karmic patterns that I have ignored arise. Oneness is arising me on a level unknown to my mind. And it's quite delightful when I know the answer is here, even if the mind is still stumbling around. Before, I could not have peace until my ego thoughts subsided, but trust is growing that it is all the same, and peace, the noumenon, encompasses the discomfort. Wonderful. Here is a pattern that has presented itself. So it's good to just, I just want to stop there and say, nobody understands causality right away. And if we try to kind of think about it or see it in a worldly way, it's always going to appear cause and effect are functioning. Just like it's always going to seem like there's a separate being, a subject-object divide. It's always going to feel that way. But as we begin to recognize the cause and effect aren't really happening in the way that we feel, it just gets clear. And the only thing you need to do is exactly what you're doing is just keep listening, just keep listening, just keep exposing yourself to the material and it will go in. So I feel uncertain about my purpose, and I think getting a job would give me a purpose. I feel incomplete and that getting a job would complete me. But I have a karmic pattern of believing jobs would complete me in the past, and I've had the experience of finding out they didn't with subsequent suffering. I fear that would happen again. The work requires analysis and judgment. I fear that if I got a job, it would further activate my analytical mind and distract me from my spiritual practice. I am retired and don't have to work. I think the cause is the lack of job and the effect is lack of purpose. I see them as separate because I believe the job is a connection to the real world in speech marks, and I could be making a small contribution to society. My work life was a big part of my identity. When I look more deeply, I think that if I got this job, it would keep me busy and I wouldn't have to look at some of those patterns which take me out of my comfort zone. Okay. So, you've continued here. From today's satsang, flipping it, I see that the cause is my belief in lack of purpose and that it is reflected in not having a job. That's a great shift to contemplate. Wonderful. So that was what I was going to say, that the cause is this incompleteness. So I would really urge you to examine, are you really incomplete? Can any activity or action you do give you that sense of completion? If you, it's good to see that you're kind of separating the real world, as you've put there, in, you know, from your inner world. And really look at, are you really incomplete? Or is this just kind of a suggestion? And it seems more like, it seems like if I did something to contribute, I'd feel even better. I'd feel even more complete. But I'd really urge you to come to a point where you see there's nothing missing in this moment totally. Even though it's fine to want somewhere for that to express, but not because you need it to complete you. And the purpose of this life, the purpose that we are looking for is awakening. And at first, that is an inner seeing. That's the purpose of this life, to recognize what I am. And then to allow that to express itself? What does the truth want to do with my life? Because you've clearly seen anyway that getting a job might not be that purpose, that fulfillment that you're looking for anyway. For myself, I had to really ask, what does the truth want to do through this body mind? At the time, I was kind of teaching in a very informal way. I had no kind of idea that it was going to end up like this. Not at that point anyway. And at the time I was doing some other work. I was working, I've had many businesses throughout my life, and eventually I had to really, they were bringing money in, but the more I ignored my, what the truth really wants to do, what it's unique and individually good at expressing in this body mind, the kind of worse the situation in the work and the business got anyway. So getting a job could even serve to emphasize that you feel even more incomplete. If you start working from an incomplete place, it's only got to reflect that back to you, hasn't it? It cannot reflect fulfillment, as you've seen. It's great that you've seen it's that way around. So are you really incomplete? You know, I love doing this, but I wouldn't be, I wouldn't feel any different if I wasn't able to teach. And I had to make sure that that was my baseline. I had to make sure I wasn't doing this for any reason. There's a joy in doing it, and I love seeing you all wake up, and it's great, but I don't need anything out of it. That's the difference. And this purpose is going to be part of that awakening. Awakening wants to see itself clearly here, and then it wants to express outwards in some outer way. It'll work through your relationships and your world and everything, and it will begin to become clearer and clearer what you really love to do. What could you do? What do you do now, even that you lose all sense of time doing? So your purpose could be something that doesn't ever bring any money in. It doesn't have to be a financial thing that you can make a living from. Money will come from somewhere to support that. What would you do right now if you had all the time in the world and all the resources right now? What would you do? And can you take a small step towards that right now? You know, not being this big end purpose, but can you, this teaching for me started just four of us sitting around in a coffee shop once every Wednesday afternoon, discussing stuff. And it wasn't a satsang, it was four friends meeting for coffee in the middle of a busy week. That was it. And it's just all developed from there. It's years and years ago. So it wasn't done for any purpose other than it was fun to do. Nice to meet up and see our progress and compare. And as that progressed, it began to become clear that I had a talent for doing that, for explaining it. And it only sort of became clear later that that's what the truth really, really wanted to do through this body mind. So you can ask, what do I love to do that really gives me such joy? And what do I lose all sense of time doing that I forget to eat sometimes, or I don't feel tired while I'm doing it, or I lose track of time, or you know, somebody could sneak up behind me and I just wouldn't know they were there. Or what is it that I would do if I had no limits, no end of resources to do it? What, and can I do some small part of that right now? What can I do to help that progress? It must already be in you, showing in you something that makes you individual and unique. It's already there, so. And if you question this incompleteness, it's going to be able to fulfill itself, express itself even more. And you'll feel moved to do something. You'll feel moved to take action, but it may look like a job or it may not, you know, so it's just clear to really know. Good to know. As I read this, it seems like regression, but honesty with myself is seeing. Just as I write this, I see this is all me and it is unimportant. That is a gift. Helen, any insights or input you have would be greatly appreciated. What am I missing on cause and effect here? Thank you so much. It's amazing how this teaching is just what I need when I need it. You said we all have support. I can feel that support for all of us. Very grateful. Lovely. Okay, so there is... it's not unimportant. I wouldn't... I mean, yes, you're complete as you are. That's the completion I was, you know, sort of looking... suggesting that you look at. The coming from the realization that you don't need anything, you don't even need a body mind, that fullness of that is going to allow the expression of that in some outer way, some manifestational way, as you keep filling yourself up and seeing and seeing and seeing, that's got to want to pour out. Keep filling up, it pours out some way. So it's unimportant in one way, but it's also very, very relevant to the human being that you are also, right? You are this human being with unique talent and skills, and you're going to start wanting to use those. Maybe you can spend some time looking at what can I do that I can do better than other beings do? What is my unique angle? What are the things? And these might not be so obvious at first because we've grown... they've just always been a part of me, you know, and so they feel normal to me. It might not even realize they're something that nobody else can do. So it's worthwhile kind of really, and asking others around you if you need help, like what is it that I do that seems to, you know, inspire beings, or what is it that I do differently to everyone else? And you might be aware of some of that or not, but it serves a purpose to look at it. Lovely. This is lengthy. Look forward to any feedback you may have. I've been having glimpses of non-duality. I have a dear friend who is on the non-dual path also. When we last spoke, I had emotion around seeing US politics and thought she was judging me for being unenlightened. After the extra session, I was able to see that she was the mirror for me, and it was my belief these emotions are unenlightened, not hers. Helen, one of the many great benefits of your teaching for me is acknowledging karmic patterns and emotions I've been denying. My friend made it possible for me to fully express myself. I felt strongly it was not wrong to acknowledge and feel this emotion, nor was it wrong to want to be supportive in my own way of our political process. She said she felt my emotion strongly. Afterwards, I felt somewhat unmoored with residual guilt, as I would not want to hurt this person, although we both know that really can't happen. I then meditated from this I don't know anything space and had a profound seeing that all this is one and it was all okay. It was an experience beyond words, beyond the form of the interaction, beyond the ego's ability to pass it. Later that day, these words came to me: from now on, I will live as the self. Since doing the DTE in November, my sleep is much improved. However, this last week, that has not been the case. Last night, I awoke earlier than I wanted to. The mind was restless. I focused on the noumenon, but then drifted back to ego thoughts, which I resisted. In this state, it was shown to me that this is duality, seeing the noumenon as an outside solution for the active mind, or the active mind being active mind able to overcome the noumenon. I relaxed and accepted it as all one. So I used to have this belief that if I wake up in the middle of the night, a lot of beings on the pathway have this kind of 3 or 4 a.m. satsang going on in their head, I've noticed. It was like that for me. I had a strong belief that I couldn't get back to sleep until the mind had gone quiet, that I had to somehow focus on the spaciousness only. And really when I just noticed both of those, I would drift back to sleep eventually. And that's either onus, the duality, as you've said there, was evident for me at first. And as I looked and looked, it also became clearer that if I'm awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, I fall back asleep or not, that is however much sleep my body needed, that there is no mind per se or entity, separate being, that can get in the way of that sleep process. And if I sleep for 3 hours one day, 10 hours the next day, That's exactly how much sleep my body needed. And if I listen to my mind saying I haven't had enough sleep, that's when I really begin to suffer and feel tired. Now, it doesn't really make any difference whether I'm awake 3 or 4 times in the night or asleep right through, which is usually the case now. When I wake up and my body's had enough sleep. You know, that's how I know I've had enough sleep, is when I wake up. And, you know, even if I have to set an alarm now, I'm awake most times well before that, because that duality, that sense of duality, is not taxing the body so much. This morning I had a memory from childhood. When I was less than 10 years old, I knew there was an observer as well as my thinking mind, if it was there watching me play. No one I knew ever talked about anything similar, and it never occurred to me to mention it. With adolescence, my awareness of it gradually subsided as I took on the task of somehow moving into adulthood. That's normal, isn't it, really? It seems like it's something bigger watching me play. So there's a duality there still, and the identity firmly is the one playing rather than the watcher, or both. You know, so that's very normal in childhood. We'll have those kind of moments, but we forget them, as you've said, because our attention goes to the mind and growing up and, you know, sort of adding to our belief system, which becomes more important at that time. So this morning I was led to read the chapter on knowing in the DTE book. The description resonated with my childhood memory. So when I meditated, I tuned into that sense that I remembered from long ago as knowing. I was oneness even when ego thoughts arose. When I thought I was done meditating, I was called to continue. An incredible sense of self-love arose, so a couple of thoughts. This seeing outstrips my ability to put it into words. Words have been important to my spiritual path, how I try to capture what I have gained or seemingly lost. But this is beyond the words. It seems I am absorbing that the practice itself, the exposure to the teaching, as you mentioned many times, is opening me beyond my understanding. I've neglected meditation since the holidays. I've seen my distraction from doing the GP homework, but wasn't sure why. I think there is a connection. I look forward to taking the DTE course again in February to look at the teachings. Helen, the DTE, the GP, the Sanghas, everything just weaves together to guide us through. Eventually, these lessons seep in. I am grateful for your wisdom and great patience as I feel my way along this path. Thank you for reading it through it all. It is hugely beneficial to interact this way. P.S. This morning, as I was preparing to submit this to you, I had a thought that my friend was right. Politics is an illusion, and I was wrong to feel emotion. I tuned into the noumenon and looked at this. I saw that my mind was making a separation, but that I am both the emotion and my friend's view of it. I am both a form and formless, a great lesson on causality for me. So it's a traditional view of awakening that it kind of leads to this disassociation with the world, but it's really the opposite. It's I might really embrace the world from the place of knowing there's nothing really wrong with it, actually. That what we see going on in the world is the effect of the cause internally in human beings of fear. Separation, thinking I'm a separate being, leads to fear and anger, unworthiness, all of that. And that is what we see going on, acting out. The effect is what we see going on the world stage. And so your own awakening first, and then to begin to inspire those around you to the truth. It is the most beneficial way you can do that. Awakening is authenticity. I am the vast formless expanse of my being that's infinite and everywhere all the time, could never be absent. I'm also this human being feeling the way I feel right now about this situation. And I'm not going to deny any aspect of that experience. I'm not going to say either one of those is more important or more real. That's the duality we're poking out there, that this one's real and that one's unreal. So If the self is appearing as this human being, then I must come to honor this human being and all that that involves eventually. Lovely. And thank you for your kind words. Very glad that it's helpful. It all comes together, doesn't it, in the end, to just keep joining and letting it seep in. It's working on a level the mind can't really understand anyway. So, okay. Next one. Thank you so much for your extra class. It really cleared up a lot of things for me. I missed the second half, so please ignore if this came up. But I have two questions. One is, when I catch a cause and effect happening, I pause and ask, can I be sure there are two things here? But then what do I do? Indeed, is there a doing to be done other than sitting in the question? So let's look at that one first before I go on to the second one. If I say this thing out there, I might start off, this thing happening out there is making me feel this way in here. As I question if they're two, I might come to the realization that they're not. And then, as we explained in the class, if we flip it round, what I think is the cause is really the effect, the reflection. Cause is in here, then I can sit with that. Cause maybe some belief I have about myself or the world or something, or awakening, some general attitude I've carried. And I will, if you sit with a question, then sit with the belief, is that true? Is that, it's usually comes back to something around safety and worthiness, doesn't it? Or getting what we want, as we saw over and over again in the extra class. So you see they're not two, you flip it on its head, you see what the real cause is the belief. And then question if it's true. And that should immediately begin to change how you feel inside, and it should begin to change the manifestation. Start to look for new shoots of manifestation then. And that really is enough doing, just to see. I've been trying to change the effect instead of questioning the cause, because I thought the effect out there was the cause. I had it 180 on how it really is. So I've been doing action, putting attention on it, without really being able to heal it. So now I can see the real cause is the belief the self has, and then I can question that. And that's enough. Some things we may need to really look at a couple of times, because it's a very well-grooved pattern for a lot of us, especially around security and safety. And that will begin to change it. So it's just a seeing they're not two, and then flipping it on its head as we did in the extra class, and then looking at what is the cause and what is this feeling. And it'll be a feeling, an attitude, a conviction we have about how we are, how life is, or something. Lovely. Secondly, I have a stubborn cause and effect. It goes like this. I fully accept my life can reflect the abundance I am when hanging out alone. But when I am at the mercy of my partner making core decisions, etc., then it can't happen. In quotes, his beliefs basically screw with my progression and are in conflict with my practices and prevent me from getting what I want. So I'm pretty sure if I just sit with this, I will get it. But if you have any helping words to knock this off its perch, I would welcome them. Thank you, Helen. Lots of love and gratitude to you. So the cause seems to be my partner. You know, I'm in my zen and my partner comes and there's this disturbance inside. So again, let's apply the same thing. There must be one. There can't really be two beings. Can't really be me and my partner. And then let's flip it on its head. The belief something in here is causing him to this reflection as him. Disturbing my equilibrium, my peace, etc., my progression, my realization. So what's the belief in there then that's reflecting as this? Could it really be? Well, if you look at what seems to be happening, it seems to be that this other being is affecting you. So I would suggest really looking at, is there actually another being here? Just really looking, is there another being to disturb me? Are there any other beings to disturb me, to is there anyone to make a co-decision with? And I know as I say that, my husband's going to be going, well, yes, of course there is. You know, there's two people in this relationship and we both run this house together, etc. But as you begin to really question this and see the effect, the reflection change, it become clear. Also in a relationship, it's good to know that it's good to have two opposing points of view and that it doesn't have to be either or, the either or-ness, either he wins or you win, is the ego, isn't it? Saying which one is right of these two options. The self would say, well, what encompasses both these? You know, you need to make a decision. You both have an idea of how it should go, which are both different. You can say, well, okay, there must be a third option which includes and satisfies both of us and is not a compromise in terms of you win, I lose, and next time I'll let you win. You know, there's something higher there. The relationship is great because the two seemingly opposing viewpoints can come together and the self can evolve even faster. When we stop filtering it through thoughts, something higher will come. So what is even higher than both these points of view? And suddenly it'll just come, oh, we could do this. This is, and it gives both of you the satisfaction. Nobody has to win or lose in a relationship when there's only one being in it. One being in a relationship sounds like an impossibility, but I know you know what I mean there. So lovely. The question if there's another being. And then when that thing actually arises, he wants to do this, I want to do this. It doesn't seem like there's a way forward. It's because you're trying to pick one or the other and ignoring all the other higher possibilities that could manifest that would satisfy both of you. There's always a third option and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh. But we only try to pick from these two because mind likes to compare two things and decide that's what it does very, very well. I hope that's helpful. Hi Helen, here's my homework for this week. After last week's realization that I've been living my life with an underlying fear in place, I'm allowing myself to feel shocked still. I know at times when I've had realizations in the past, I haven't always allowed them to sink in. And that's okay, isn't it? Because some things when we see them are very, very shocking. Especially when you see this belief has pervaded your entire existence. It is shocking, as I know we spoke about it, so. I've had realizations, during the week, I've spent some time just acknowledging the shocked feeling and noticing how the body reacts when I interact to certain situations during the day. So you just become more conscious of this fear, you know, when it would suggest that you do something different or say something or not say something, whatever it is, then you can become more conscious of it, not so much of the effect of it. So you're just watching the way that the fear has controlled you, and then you can see a different way to be as you watch. It feels like I'm more aware of this fear in the background. I've contemplated what would it be like to live without the fear in the background. Also, I've been drawn to asking myself, is it possible for me to cease to exist? After listening to one of the homeworks from last week, so those are good questions, aren't they? I've been experiencing more pain, particularly in the lower two chakras, as well as a feeling of being lost and not sure what to do next. I don't feel like there's been anything major revealed to me this week. I have been looking at Louise Hay's work too, more closely, the painful areas of the body. Sometimes, as per last week, I felt quite rough too. Any comments would be appreciated. Should I stay with the questions I've been asking? Much love. So I would say that the pain is showing you something. It's showing you that there is a belief. Something hasn't been revealed in an aha moment, but the pain is showing you where there's a real discord between what you know to be true and what your prevailing belief or attitude is in that area. So the lower two chakras are going to be fear of survival, in the root chakra, you know, feeling grounded, stable, able to support yourself, all of that. And then in the sacral, it'll be fear of others, fear of intimacy. Intimacy isn't always a physical thing. It could be an energetic intimacy, emotional intimacy, you know, being with your own emotions even, which goes back to the fear itself, you know. So if you're noticing some pain in those two areas, I'd really suggest having a look at those two areas to really confirm where it's just showing you, your body's showing you, which area of your life you still need to apply this to. You're seeing it more and more and more, and that's great. And the pain is just telling you, you haven't seen it here yet. So is fear pervading something that you do, intimacy, that type of thing? And that could be physical, could be sexual, could be emotional. It could be in relationships with friends. It could be all of those. But I tend to have a look at the, you know, the particular areas and the beliefs that Louise Hay lists will really help you to see the attitudes underneath that. And in those two areas in particular. So the pain is showing you, if the pain's increasing, then it's showing you that there's a wider gap. You're seeing more and more and more that it's completely safe. You've always been safe. And it's just going, hey, you really need to apply it here now. Done great with all the rest. Here's where you need to really look at it. And you know, if you need some more help with that, then do say. But the pain is the revelation this time, isn't it? Is the messenger, is the aha moment. This is the next place to apply, it's telling you, or the most urgent place. And the amount of pain is really the discord in the body that's being felt by the prevailing belief in those areas where it's being expressed. The body is a metaphorical map of our world, our life. And it will tell you where you can still apply this seeing to. Lovely. Okay. So we'll take a quick break there and we'll come back with part two. Thank you.